From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th ball. Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the wire. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby.
Coming to the 8th pole in the Toyota Bluegrass, Swiss Skydiver fighting on. Art Collector is right there. Art Collector ahead in front. A half length to the good, 16th pole. Art Collector, Brian Hernandez Jr. to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 of the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind. It's Tis the Law. He won the Belmont Stakes. He's going to win the run, Happy Travers.
She dares the devil, strikes the front of the eighth pole. Swiss Skydiver's trying hard, but she's still second. Not today for Gamine. It is She Dares the Devil turning back Swiss Skydiver, Gamine, and all the rest. She Dares the Devil scores in the Oaks.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. I am up in the New York HRRN studios on a beautiful Saturday morning here in the Big Apple. Producer Lee Delapina back in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. Queen's Plate 2020, and like almost every other big event in the great sport of kings, affected by the COVID-19 this year. Ordinarily run the last weekend in June / first weekend in July. Postponed till a week after our Kentucky Derby here in the United States. And they'll get it off for the 161st time later on this afternoon, north of the border, field of 14 colts, geldings, and fillies, as is the case usually up in Toronto, a mile and a quarter on the all-weather. See, the fillies often try the Queen's Plate, as opposed to being a little more rare down here with the Kentucky Derby. Of course, the Queen's Plate, the Canadian equivalent to our Kentucky Derby, which we just had last week, again, in this COVID-19 year that is 2020. Everything's been kind of thrown up in the air and the chips have fallen in different places, but still have a lot of great racing. A little bit of an unusual weekend, quiet out in Southern California racing wise quiet here in New York, as New York Racing Association decided to take a little bit of a bigger break than usual, as we just wrapped up Del Mar in California. Saratoga here not going to start back up until Friday, this coming Friday, September 18th at Belmont Park. So a little bit quiet here on the East Coast, racing wise on the West Coast, of course, battling those wildfires out in California. We hope everyone, including everybody involved in our great sport and all the horses as well, everybody staying as safe as can be out west. Our thoughts and prayers with everyone, obviously, battling those wildfires that necessitated the cancellation of racing at Golden Gate Field yesterday afternoon. We'll see what, haven't seen anything yet. Still early, obviously, 5 o'clock out there on the West Coast. For you West Coast listeners, thanks for coming up and getting up early. We'll pass along any information we can about that Golden Gate card for today. Attention, obviously, at Woodbine for the Queen's Plate, 4 stakes on that undercard as well. And Kentucky Downs, their boutique six-day meet. The second half of the boutique meet kicks off today, with racing in the books for Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. A big weekend out there. 22 races, 8 of them stakes races. And then they'll wrap things up Wednesday. And then racing turns right over to Churchill Downs Thursday, coming up this Thursday, September 17th. Their meet will run from the 17th through the 27th. Right into Keeneland, Friday, October 2nd. And then, of course, a few days at Churchill Downs, and the road to the Breeders' Cup ends this year in Lexington, not far from our home studios, November 6th and 7th, the Breeders' Cup World Championships coming your way again with just, and now we're looking at the calendar, today being September 12th, just 8 weeks away from the Breeders' Cup, 3 weeks away from the Preakness. A win and you're in for that Breeders' Cup Classic. And this weekend, you would imagine that there will be a lot of Breeders' Cup turf race implications from Kentucky Downs. 22 races in all, 8 of them stakes races, and they pretty much cover the gamut of divisions in the Breeders' Cup for the turf runners. There are some turf sprints for both the fillies and the older horses, the colts and geldings and older horses. You got some juvenile races. You got some distance races, a couple of mile races. So lots going on at Kentucky Downs. And we'll be joined this morning by trainer Mike Maker, who has won 4 of the last 5 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cups. $1 million on the line later on this afternoon. He has defending champ Zulu Alpha. Mike will join us a little bit later on in the program. We will talk to Price Bell from Mill Ridge Farm. They have a huge consignment, as they do almost every year, over at Keeneland. Price recently named general manager, just 1 month, exactly 1 month into that position. We'll talk to them about that position and that consignment over at the marathon that is the Keeneland sales this time of year. We'll talk to Jim Lawson, CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. He'll talk to us about that Queen's Plate today for the 161st time up in Canada at Woodbine, and talk about that Queen's Plate at home experience. No fans allowed. Like our Triple Crown races down here in the U.S., no fans going to be allowed today at Woodbine for the Queen's Plate, and they're bringing you a unique Queen's Plate at-home experience. We'll talk to Jim about that and what it's been like to have to deal with the COVID-19 north of the border, and what they've done at Woodbine to keep the racing going, albeit on a little bit of a delayed basis. They're running full tilt up there at Woodbine right now, doing a great job, as always. We'll talk to Jim about that. Trainer Kevin Attard, he has the morning line favorite, Clayton, in that Queen's Plate later on today. He also has an interesting filly in Mervalu, whose biggest knock might be that I think I picked her to win this Queen's Plate today. Again, the filly running against the boys, not unusual in that Queen's Plate. Thinking back just a few years ago when Holy Helena got the job done for Stronach Stable and Jimmy Jerkins in their race, I believe, in 2017. So that's not unusual. And we have our Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. It'll be three-time Kentucky Derby winning jockey, Hall of Famer, the great John Velasquez. He'll join us a little bit later on in the program. We have an action-packed morning set for you here on the Equine Forum. And really, after this weekend, and a little bit of a quiet weekend next weekend, the floodgates open as far as prep season begins for the Breeders' Cup. We'll bring you coverage on 3 consecutive weekends, starting on the 25th of September. That entire weekend, there'll be some stakes, 25th, 26th, 27th, there'll be stakes action, winning your in action, and then, of course, October 3rd and 4th, Preakness, Fall Stars weekend at Keeneland, a ton of graded stakes, winning your in races at Belmont Park all weekend long, the Judmon Spinster on the 4th, and then the following weekend, Jockey Club Gold Cup from beautiful Belmont Park on October 10th. So, a little, of course, Queen's Plate today, a little bit quiet weekend next weekend, and then, again, it all opens up, and the winning your in action is going to come at you hot and heavy, and you'll hear a lot of it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As for today, Kentucky Downs and Queen's Plate Day. And our poll question this morning, and you guys can reach out to us at HRRN on Twitter. Again, at HRRN on Twitter. We'll keep it simple. Who is going to win the mile and a quarter, $1 million Queen's Plate on that Tapeta surface up at Woodbine this afternoon? Will it be your morning line favorite, Clayton, who is 2-1 for Kevin, and Rafael Hernandez? He's won 3 of 4 overall, his last 2, including the plate trial. Will it be the filly, Curlin's Voyage, from trainer Josie Carroll, who is familiar with being in the Queen's Plate winner's circle? Josie won this race a couple of times, most recently in 2011 with Inglorious. Or will be somebody else. So one of the 2 favorites or other. And if you say other, please specify. We'll read your answers on the air a little bit later on in the show. Again, at HRRN on Twitter who will win today's Queen's Plate for the 161st running of the Queen's Plate. Will it be the Moneyline favorite Clayton? Will it be the Philly Carlin's Voyage or someone else? Let us know, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on this program. Speaking of the Queen's Plate, we'll take our first break. When we return, CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, Jim Lawson, going to join us to talk about the 161st running of the crown jewel of the Woodbine Meet. You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Now going to the challenge for the lead, Avi's Flatter in the Queen's Plate. Avi's Flatter breathing down the neck of One Bad Boy, and they raced out by two lengths to Tonebroke. The rest are well back and down the home stretch. It is a battle royale. One Bad Boy and Avi's Flatter, stride to stride, a furlong to run. One Bad Boy, One Bad Boy, never looked better and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won. One Bad Boy, three lengths. Avi's Flatter second, Tonebroke third, He's a Macho Man fourth, and Desert Ride was fifth, 2-2-98.
One Bad Boy, Flavien Pratt and Richard Baltus. Pratt, of course, winning the Kentucky Derby with Country House. Then the Queen's Plate with One Bad Boy in the same year. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Up at Woodbine, they'll run that Queen's Plate for the 161st time this year. Today, first post 12:30, a little bit of an early start up there. For Queen's Plate Day. Queen's Plate itself goes off right around 5:41 Eastern Time, and nice enough to be joined now by the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, Jim Lawson. Jim, thanks for some time this morning here on the Equine Forum.
Morning, Anthony. Nice to be on. Thank you.
Always good to catch up with you. I always draw the long straw. More often than not, I get to host these shows when I get to talk to you, so I always enjoy our visits together.
Great. Looking forward to it. Certainly exciting day up here, so lots to talk about.
Yeah, certainly lots to talk about. And let's start with the obvious. Race moved, like almost everything else, has been moved in 2020 due to COVID-19, so about an 11-week difference from usual. Talk about the process of selecting this date and just basically how you guys dealt with the outbreak back in the beginning when the meet was supposed to begin.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, well, the two obviously go hand in hand, and we were pretty unsure, like everyone, not just in the racing world, but generally how and when we were going to be able to get started. So it was always top of mind whether we were going to even be able to run a Queen's Plate this year. So we stepped in pretty early in terms of being very proactive as a racetrack to put very tight protocols and procedures in place. We're a little different in the sense that we race here 8 or 9 months of the year at Woodbine, and had 1,100 or 1,200 horses on our backstretch by the time a lot of the COVID ceilings came into place. And we had to move quickly. We had to work closely with the health authorities. We wanted to protect the horses. A lot of them had come up from the United States and really didn't have natural farms to go to. So we hunkered down and put a 35-page booklet together of protocols and procedures, and worked closely with government and health authorities. And as a result of that good work, they actually, when the economy first phase started to open up, the provincial government said, okay, horse racing, you can do it. You can move ahead, in large part because they were so familiar with the work we'd been doing. And at that time and around that time, we said we had to look at our stakes schedule and all the preps. Again, we're unique in that the race today is Canadian breds, and a number of those horses that are running today had not run south of the border during the winter, so they needed prep races, and we had to plan accordingly. So when you took that timing into account, Anthony, you come up with the fact that you need 2 or 3 good prep races in to get these horses ready. And that led us to likely a September start. And so that's as we looked at September, and we already had booked with Breeders' Cup for September 19th for the Woodbine Mile, and the Kentucky Derby had, I think by that time, announced September 5th. We looked at this weekend and said, that's the one. So it's been a good process. We've operated smoothly during COVID. Thank goodness it's come together for the horse people, and we're thrilled that we are where we are today.
And unlike a lot of places who did have to make some racing cuts, you guys have pretty much stayed on what would be your usual schedule racing wise.
Yeah, absolutely. We just shifted it back. We missed some races and a few stakes early in the year. As I said, those that were considered preps for 3-year-olds, so 3-year-old fillies for our Oaks and the 3-year-olds for the Queen's Plate, we kept those races. But otherwise, we didn't have to cancel many races. The good news for our horse people is we've kept our purses exactly on schedule, which has been great. And we've had a very good meet, very successful wagering, of course, and great racing. And this will be. Today will be a great day, and of course, one of the best weekends of the year in racing anywhere is that 3 win in your in races, the turf races next weekend. So we're excited where we're at today.
Yeah, for the first time, I mean, your two biggest weekends up at Woodbine are going to be back to back. You're going to have the Queen's Plate, obviously, today, the Woodbine Mile next week. Even without fans allowed on the grounds, pressure to pull off two great weekends of racing back to back like this?
Yeah, I think the planning hasn't changed much. I mean, we're going to miss a lot of the pageantry today and the royal traditions with the Landau and the RCMP musical ride, and a lot of things that the fans look forward to. We have built it I'll describe it into something more like a Kentucky Derby type atmosphere at Woodbine over the past 5 years, with a strong hint and flavor of Royal Ascot. So it's become a big social event too, and we're going to miss that today. Although our team has worked very hard at a Queen's Plate at home on Instagram and hired social influencers and worked closely with the music industry to bring fashion and food and music into everyone's home today. And then we're on national broadcast on CTV and TSN at 4:30 today, which will be a great show. But the planning for the racing, there's been a lot of work to try and to make the days as exciting and interesting as we can, both from a fan standpoint and moving people onto HPIBet.com and Dark Horse, which is our new app, to really convert wagering for our big days. And especially we've been focusing on this month because we knew this would be a big wagering month. We've had the same on the harness racing side in terms of a big month of racing. And we've converted about 10,000 people onto HPI Bet, and our wagering on that platform is up 50%. So they've done a great job from that. From a horse racing standpoint, I think one of the challenges that we're seeing is with the border restrictions, we just have not been able to get the top jockeys across the border. And that's been normally on Queen's Plate Day, we have two or three, but on the Woodbine Mile Day, of course, we're not seeing the Europeans come in and the American horses and jockeys come in the same way. We will have some American horses come in, including one that Mr. Cassie is bringing up that won the Triple Crown races last year, so we'll have Will of War up, and Mark's got another nice horse, March to the Arch, and I think Kevin, you'll have Kevin on today if you haven't already. I think he's leaning towards putting our horse of the year, Starship Jubilee, into the mile, so it's shaping up to be a nice competitive race, but we won't have, because of the U.S.-Canadian border restrictions, we won't have the U.S. jockey contingent. And in addition, we're just missing some horses from Europe and from the United States that we would normally get because the connections aren't prepared to bring them up without either the jockey or the trainer being able to attend. So that's been a bit of an issue for some. As you'll see, we've got a strong flavor of Chad Brown today and Asmussen today and others. And so they've sent horses up with other trainers, but and Mark, of course, is primarily stabled here. So it's but it will impact our racing, and I know Julie Bell and our racing department have been working very hard to convince people to cross that border, but it's been a challenge for us.
Yeah, they've done a really good job of full field today in that Queen's Plate. And you mentioned a couple of marquee names. War Will just won the Grade One down at Keeneland. Going to take on Starship Jubilee, who upset Sister Charlie in the Boston Spa earlier this year at Saratoga. So a lot to look forward to next weekend. A lot to look forward to today. Let's talk about the race a little bit. Field of 14, yep. As is the norm. We have some fillies trying the boys. And I know the morning line has Clayton 2-1 and Curlin's Voyage for Josie Carroll 5-2. I wouldn't be surprised if that was flip-flop come post time, though.
Yeah, my exact sentiments. I think the fillies have done so well in this race, and hard to explain why for sure, but they've sure done well. I think it's just a smaller group of three-year-olds, and the fillies coming out of that Canadian Oaks 3 weeks ahead of time, they just seem primed, and they've had a lot of success. So Merveilleux with that Kevin has, along with of course the favorite Clayton, and then Curlin's Voyage, Josie Carroll's horse, who won the Oaks and won it in a quicker time than the boys went in the play trial that day. So it's shaping up to be very competitive. I mean, it's 14 horses, but there's, if you handicap it, anyone who's handicapping it, you know, you get about five or six different horses showing up all the time between the two favorites, and then Merveilleux and Dotted Line and Hills again, which is Asmussen's horse. There's five or six of them that on paper really look like they've got a chance to win. And of course, as we all know, anyone can win this race, going a mile and a quarter for the first time and how it sets up. But it is certainly a very competitive field today when you've got five or six horses that people think have a good chance to win. There won't be any 3-5 shots. It's the lowest will probably be 5-2 or so, and I agree with you. It may well be the Josie's filly.
Yeah, you'll get your price on whoever you really like today. We're talking with Jim Lawson, CEO from Woodbine Entertainment. Queen's Plate Day today, finally here, 161st running of the Queen's Plate. Yeah, I remember when Halo again broke his maiden right around opening day of the fall meet at Churchill Downs last year, saying to myself, well, it looks like Steve's on the path to having a Queen's Plate horse. And sure enough, I couldn't believe he paid eight and change when he won the Coronation Futurity right back a month later. But yeah, you know, Steve getting the son of Spitestown up there, full field of 14. We have been promoting the Woodbine Queen's Plate at Home experience for about a month now. Can you maybe give a little insight to our fans listening what that's going to entail?
Well, it's first of all, it's on Instagram at Woodbine TB, and there's going to be a full slate of there's a well-known popular host up here from CTV on the social, Melissa Grello, and she's the host for the day, and it is really all about Queen's Plate experiences and fashion and food and mixing drinks at home, and we've got three or four particularly. Are specially made music videos that will play. They're called the Woodbine Sessions. I just hope we find a way to package these up. We had three artists make videos at Woodbine, and rising stars that Universal Music is promoting, and so that there's going to be a big flavor of music and discussions about the racing, but it's mostly focused on the fashion and the food and the music, and then it will segue right into CTV and TSN. I think it's on TVG in the United States, and there's other ways probably to stream it, but CTV and TSN across the country here at 4:30 this afternoon. So it'll be a fun day. We're doing our best under some difficult circumstances like everyone else, and who knows whether we're going to be doing the same thing next year. It's just so much uncertainty out there that our people have done a good job, and part of this I'm sure we'll keep for the future, because it's a great concept, and it lets a lot of people participate.
You realize this is the longest you and I have ever spoke without bringing up food, right?
Well, I'm certainly a little disappointed. This is a big day for food at Woodbine, and our people do such a great job with the food. But our dining rooms are closed today. There'll be some limited service. Certainly, the owners, I think, are going to get something to eat, because we've managed with the health authorities to work to get the connections through the doors. But not much more than that. But we are going to feed them. So hopefully, they'll throw a bone or two my way.
Well, there you go. Get one of those famous carved roast beef sandwiches. Hopefully we can do that next year. Jim, thanks for your support. Have a great Queen's Plate Day, and best of luck up there to the north.
Well, thank you to you and the entire team for supporting us the way you have, and enjoy today, and maybe we'll get a chance, whether it's you or the rest of the group next Saturday to talk about a big weekend here that will be fun also. So we're pleased where we're at, and thank you for everything you guys do for us. Appreciate it.
You got it, Jim. Hopefully we'll be able to see you for Queen's Plate 2021. Jim Lawson, CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, nice enough to take some time out of Queen's Plate Day for us here on the Equine Forum. Before we head to break, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
This is the story of a man who was active as a thoroughbred owner for 65 years and whose name became synonymous with the American turf. Among the horses he owned and or bred were Swarthmore, Passmore, Seabird, Yankee Witch, Big Blaze, American flag, Maid at Arms, Crusader, Friar's Case, War Hero, War Glory, War Admiral, War Relic, Thumbs Up, War Trophy, Rampart, and the horse that in many quarters is considered the mostest horse that ever was, Man of War. This man was born on July 1st, 1861 in Glenriddle, Scotland, the son of a textile merchant who founded that town. Robert Burns, the well-noted Scotch poet, was at one time the family librarian. Our man was educated at one of this nation's finest small colleges, Swarthmore in suburban Philadelphia. At 21, he followed in his father's footsteps and entered the textile business. He developed an early interest in hunters and hounds, and then steeplechasers, and finally, flat racing. His first horse of note was Swarthmore, named after his alma mater. This one was out of a mare bred by President Ulysses S. Grant. During the 1890s, he had a couple of decent stakes horses in Passmore and Seabird, both of whom were successful at the old Gloucester track in New Jersey. The first horse to wear the famous silks of his stable, black, yellow sash, yellow hoops on sleeves, was Yankee Witch, a daughter of Ogden, who was purchased as a two-year-old from John E. Madden in 1916. That one won the Rosedale Stakes in American record time until then, 101 and 2 for 5 furlongs. She also won the Spinaway Stakes, and in 19, Louis Feustel, his trainer at the time, admired a tall, gangly son of fair play at the Saratoga Sale. The man who's the subject of this dissertation was not impressed, but he agreed to buy the horse on the condition he be made a jumper, if not successful on the racetrack. A price of $5,000, seven highest of the sale, was paid for the yearling, who had already been named Man of War. In 1918, this man purchased two more yearlings of note, Big Blaze and Whetstone. Big Blaze was the son of Campfire, costing $1,800, and went on to win the Grand Union Hotel, Interboro, Champlain, and Washington handicaps. In the Interboro, he whipped the great Zeb in American record time for 1/116 miles, 144-4. Whetstone was a filly bred by Colonel Phil Chin and cost $3,100. She won the Brookdale in the ladies' handicap and defeated Preakness winner Nellie Morse. Later, she became the Dam of War hero. When Man of War retired to stud, his first crop of foals produced American Flag, who won the Belmont, Dwyer, and Withers Stakes. From Man of War's second crop came Crusader and Taps. Crusader won the Belmont, Dwyer, Riggs, Huron, Jockey Club Gold Cup, Havre de Grace, Maryland, and Suburban Handicaps. Taps was the best two-year-old filly of her year and won the Matron. The next major horse he owned was War Hero, who in 1932 won the Travers, the Huron, and the Saratoga Cup. The best horse ever bred by this man was War Admiral, a multiple stakes winner, and the last outstanding horse to race in his black and yellow silks was War Relic, who was sired by Man of War. War Relic won the Massachusetts Handicap, Narragansett Governor's Handicap, and the Narragansett Special. A horseman and a sportsman to the very quick, he often disregarded his own best wishes, and he recognized that his ownership of Man of War was not mere possession, but was indeed a part of public legacy, sort of like owning the Sphinx or the Taj Mahal or the Pyramid. So until Man of War became quite ill, the gates of Faraway Farm, where Man of War was housed, were always open to a constant stream of visitors. He met the Dark Horseman as an octogenarian at the age of 89 in 1951, and no finer compliment could be paid him than that he was worthy and well-deserving of owning Man of War, the mostest horse that ever was. That man was Glenn Riddle. Farm was Mr. Sam B. Riddle.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
The 2020 yearling consignments of Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud are loaded with graded stakes prospects once again. Their consignments at Fasic Tipton and Keeneland September include half-siblings to current graded stakes horses Bell's the One, Dean Martini, and Indian Pride, as well as full sisters to Grade 1 winner Street Band and recent Saratoga Stakes winners Speak to Me of Summer and Kariba. Brereton C. Jones's carefully developed female families are brimming with exciting updates. Airdrie Stud's yearlings are raised for the racetrack. Think about it.
The 2020 Thoroughbred Owner Conference is being offered virtually November 3rd and 4th. We are committed to providing the Owner Conference in as safe and healthy an environment as possible. Experience 9 panels with expert speakers, moderators, and a keynote address. Ask questions of speakers from your home, office, or anywhere you are. Visit ownerview.com to register and be part of this important event while staying safe, healthy, and comfortable. Wherever you are, we'll be there. Visit ownerview.com today.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
At the 5/16 pole, coming to the top of the lane, and Zulu Alpha sustaining a strong bid in the hot pink out wide, moving up for a crack at Factor This. Botswana's between them, Blended Citizens working off the rail, but struggling at the 3/16 pole. Arclow is being presented at the right time by Giroux. They're inside the final furlong, and it's Zulu Alpha who shows the way a couple of lengths clear of Arclow, and Factor This is boxing on. Zulu Alpha is the leader, well in control of the million-dollar Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup. Zulu Alpha wins by 4 lengths from Arclow. Campaign has come on very fast, late for third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Zulu Alpha will look to defend his Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup. $1 million on the line later on today at Kentucky Downs. He is one of, he's in race number 10 today. It's one of 18 races over the course of the next 2 days. Our next guest has entrance in. It's trainer Mike Maker. Mike, thanks for some time this morning here on the Equine Forum.
Thank you for having me.
Do you just sit in the paddock for the next 2 days?
Yes. Got a tent set up.
Just sleep there, don't even do anything else, just chill out at Kentucky Down. That's something, man. I mean, that's really, really something. I mean, it's probably more impressive than the probably almost as impressive as the 4 out of the last 5 Kentucky Turf Cups. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, we pointed towards this meet and, had some good horses on top of their game at the time. So it paid off, and hopefully today it'll happen once again.
Yeah, Zulu Alpha pulled it off last year. And I think it's worth noting that the year Arclow, who's in here, and we'll talk about him in a minute, you got each other PP so much. I'm surprised he doesn't walk over to you to get saddled at this point, Arclow. Four of the last 5. In the year Arclow won it 2 years ago in 2018, you finished 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Yes.
That's absolutely remarkable. And, of course, over the last few years, and I think really your 2-time winner, the Big Hoss, started giving you this reputation of these reclamation projects. I think you claimed him for 50, if I'm not mistaken, and you win this race in back-to-back
Correct.
Years with him. Yeah, so
yeah.
It's not like you're taking, you know, these high-priced 2-year-olds or yearlings or you know, or sales toppers and winning all this money with them. You're taking claiming horses and building them back up, and you've got a real knack for it.
Well, you know, we did some things that the horses we felt were bred for that didn't have the opportunity to do it. And a lot of times we got lucky, and sometimes we stubbed our toe. But we gave it a shot, and, it was the same with Zulu Alpha, increasing business. Obviously, it turned his career around, and same with the Big Hoss.
I would never ask the procedure or the thought process, but how extensive is the amount of research and pedigree work that you do before you make these claims and start to redirect these horses, if you will?
Luckily for me, I've got some owners that, you know, do that and on top of it and pass it on to me. So, I'm just benefiting, you know, Michael Hoy. I don't think there's any better than handicapping than him. He's done it so much and analyzed pedigrees, analyzed his numbers that he uses, and you know, it's done remarkably well.
Yeah. Just some amazing claims over the years.
Standpoint, he just kind of fit the model of looks, and he was a last-minute decision. Sky High Boys were sitting at the bar, and I think it was a race before, and said, oh, look, the Big Hoss. And one of them goes on to say that Jimmy Shercliffe says, oh, one of the biggest bets I made was the Hoss in the Breeders' Cup. Let's claim him. And we rushed around and then won a four-way shake for him. So, good story.
Yeah. You have some luck with the shakes, too, right? He's not the only one I know you shook for. Now, Zulu Alpha, another claim. What'd you guys get for him?
I think he claimed it for
$80,000, and he's earned over almost $2 million since that claim. I mean, just absolutely remarkable. And he's really pretty much since last year's Kentucky Turf Cup, he's turned into a completely different. I mean, you did a good job with him in the beginning, but since this race last year, he's really turned into a little bit of a different horse. Did you see him turn a corner? Did you see it coming? What happened with him?
Well, I felt last year in the Breeders' Cup Turf, he was unlucky to lose, got beat a couple lengths, but didn't get away very well, and then had an extremely wide trip to get beat two lengths to the best turf horse in the country. But after that race, he went to Ups and Downs Farm for about a month and really, really blossomed with the time off. So, you know, we've kind of sprinkled that in his routine and absolutely loves it.
Even in defeat in the Pan American, more of a circumstance of trip. And even when he lost, you won. Bema's Boy. Bema's Boy upset him that day when he was 3-5. And he got a little bit of a break from that Pan American to the Elkhorn. COVID-related, was it planned to gear him up for a fall run at this race in the Breeders' Cup?
We weren't planning on running there to begin with. And then when the COVID came around, we decided we might as well run because we don't know if we're going to run again, when we're going to run again, et cetera, et cetera. So after he ran, we sent him to the farm again. Then he kept getting delayed on his coming from the farm because Churchill kept pushing, you know, dates we could ship in back. And, you know, and then Keeneland canceled their meet. And when they came back, and we had to adjust to go to Keeneland because we were originally playing in the Arlington Million when that got canceled. But he's had a great year, and no matter what happens today, just been a great horse for us, obviously.
Talking with trainer Mike Maker, he has horses entered in 18 of the 22 races this weekend at Kentucky Downs, including two in that Kentucky Turf Cup. Later on, he'll look to win his fifth in 6 years. He has the defending champ, Zulu Alpha, but along the lines of this conversation, the Big Horse for 50, Zulu Alpha for 80, Grand Journey for 62.5, two starts back in June at Gulfstream Park, ran him back in a mile and a 16th stakes race at Indiana Grand last time out. Looks like he ran out of some real estate. This is a horse that's never been past a mile and a 16th, and here he is now off the July layoff, going that mile and a half today. Arad Ortiz Jr. is going to climb aboard. Should we be worried about Grand Journey today, Mike Maker?
A little bit. You know, he's in Indiana. He's his own worst enemy. He was stumbled leaving the gate, and I believe he veered in. He veered in so hard that he split Flo's boot. And, you know, we've been schooling him in the gate, but he's still a bad actor. And I think stretching him out will kind of cure that. If he breaks bad and so forth, the pace will be slower, so he won't give himself so much to do. But anyway, he's worked with Zulu Elf and been working really well.
And Arad Ortiz Jr., who's going to ride him for the first time today, he kind of gets along with these bad actors a little bit and is able to get them to give their best. And again, this horse is going to stretch out for the first time. You said he's been training well. He's been training like a horse that's going to want this marathon distance.
Yes, he sure did.
All right. We only have 2 hours on this program.
Stretch out, it should get him in the race a little bit better as well.
Okay, so maybe a little more forward on the stretch out. I guess that makes sense. We only have 2 hours, so we can't talk about all of the horses you have in at Kentucky Downs this weekend, but one or two others to touch on maybe over the course of the next 2 days?
I've got a bad connection, Anthony. What was the question?
No problem. One or two, I said, we only have, I joked with you, we only have 2 hours on the program, so we can't talk about all the horses at Kentucky Downs this weekend, but maybe one or two others to keep an eye on this weekend?
Bourbon and May, I really like him stretching out today. I mean, I know it's A of the Van, not a top race, but really looking forward to that, as well as Tide of the Sea.
Yeah, Tide of the Sea, former Bill Mott runner from Judmont. He won the famous race that they canceled the card after.
Seconds, won at Belmont off a long layoff, was unlucky to lose, and then ran second again at Saratoga, then was scratched off the turf up there, so we brought him to Kentucky Downs.
Speaking of Saratoga, what a fantastic meet. Congratulations on all the success up there. Talk about that. I mean, you know, you hear all of the usual suspects up there, right? Chad Brown, Todd Pletcher, and Todd Pletcher, of course, won the title this year. Christophe Clement, and you win your share of races, but this was some display this summer, Mike.
No, very fortunate. Had a lot of horses fit, New York bred, New York Stallions. You know, some like Todd Brown ran huge, Bernard Barut, so cross border horse for the course. Just a great summer, beautiful surprise.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job. 20 when all was said and done, I believe?
Yes.
A race every other day at Saratoga, that's something you can't even really dream of, can you?
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, great job this summer at the Spa. Best of luck today. I hope the tent accommodations are good for you down at Kentucky Downs, because you're going to be spending an awful lot of time there the next 36 hours, my friend. Thanks for some time today, Mike. Best of luck today with Zulu Alpha and all the runners over the weekend down in Kentucky.
Thank you very much.
All right. Mike Maker, a busy man down in Franklin, Kentucky today. And Mike and Jim Early, like all our guests, will receive apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that Queen's Plate. I got a little bit of an opinion in there. And we'll kick off hour number two with trainer Kevin Attard. He has the 2-1 morning line favorite, Clayton, in that Queen's Plate later on this afternoon. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti!
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti. A precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5. Caraconti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Sole Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Katil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream, value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caracanti at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Bobby Newman every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Race Day on HRRN. We'll bring you all the action from places like Belmont, Keeneland, Churchill, and Santa Anita, interviews with the biggest stars in thoroughbred racing, and follow the road to the Breeders' Cup right to Lexington on November 6th and 7th. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream Race Day live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They go down to the final quarter, and the race on between Halo Again, Dotted Line, and breathing down their necks. Clayton sidles up to them. Clayton on the outside, ranges up to tackle Halo Again and Dotted Line. Dotted Line on the inside, joined by Clayton, the center, Halo Again. They lay it down, the trio. Clayton on the outside, showing a little bit of supremacy now. Clayton in front. Halo Again is a battler and comes back. Clayton trying to put them away. Halo Again coming back, but Clayton in front. Clayton's won the plate trial a half a length. Halo Again second, Dotted Line third, and then Glorious Tribute on the outside, Elusive Knight, and a long last, Northern Thunder. Race time, 150.61.
Robbie Geller on the call of the plate trial. The prep for today's 161st Queen's Plate, won by Clayton. His trainer, Kevin Attard, will join us at the top of hour number two here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for tuning in and spending part of your Saturday morning with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Mike Penn. I want to remind you that it is Queen's Plate Day 2020. And later on this afternoon, Woodbine will bring you the 161st running of the Queen's Plate. This year, it's an at-home experience with fans not allowed in person. You can still join Woodbine from home as they bring you the Queen's Plate experience directly to your home like never before. Follow them on Instagram at WoodbineTB for the latest news, content, and contests for this year's Queen's Plate at home. First post today is early. It's 12:30. For more racing and horse player information, visit Woodbine.com. And that was the source of our poll question at the top of the program. Who will win today's 161st running of the Queen's Plate? If you want to answer, there's still some time. Reach out, hit us up at HRRN on Twitter. Your three options are Clayton, the 2-1 morning line favorite, the filly, Curlin's Voyage, who won the Woodbine Oaks, another prep for the Queen's Plate traditionally, or other, and give us a comment with a name. I see some of you have done just that. Richard Monta at Armwall Sports likes Miravalu. Steve Gilfeather, also on the number two Mervalou. Boy, do I have some bad news for those guys in a few minutes. Rob Toole. Mervalou. Kaz gets a good stalking trip, saves all the ground. That's jockey Kaz Kimura. Our own Ashley Mayhew. Now, she may have the best opinion because she's closest to Toronto. She likes Halo again. And Eric Rubin likes Mighty Heart. So there you go. We have no the favorites so far on this poll, not getting any love as far as Curlin's Voyage is leading at 39.5%, followed by Other at 37.2% and Clayton at 23.3%. So favorite not getting any love right now, Clayton. We'll see what Kevin has to say about that in just about 5 minutes. I think Kevin Attard is going to win the Queen's Plate today. I just don't think it's going to be with Clayton like Richard and Steve and Rob. I like Mervalou today. This is a race that I think is pretty wide open. I think Mervalou can win. I think Halo Again can win. I believe Curlin's Voyage can win. Clayton can win. My man Ed DeRosa has a lot of love for Tecumseh's War on the far outside for Catherine Day Phillips. I think five or six of them could win this. Mervalou, I think, is going to be the one to benefit from the stretch out, just based on her running style. And I think those blinkers that Kevin added last time out really helped her kind of put it all together. She had a little bit of stretch trouble as well. And I know they went fast early, and it allowed her to kind of kick in late. But I like the way she finished up despite the trouble. There's some speed in here, as there always is. And she's not a horse that's without some early speed, positional speed. So if they want to go slow, I think Kaz Kimura could put her in the game a little earlier. If they speed away from her, she proved last time that making up ground and passing horses is not something she can't do. She's finished behind Curlin's Voyage a couple of times. They've met up, but I do believe the distance is going to play more in Mervalou's hands than it's going to in Curlin's Voyage's hands. So, and at 10-1, she's the biggest price of the horses I think can win this race. I don't believe there's a stick out. You know, we talk about this all the time, handicapping on race day with Bobby Newman when I do my Talking Horses gig over at the New York Racing Association. I won't necessarily let price dictate my selection. But if I like three or four horses and I think they're all the same, and on paper a lot of these horses, to me anyway, look kind of the same, I will let price then dictate. More often than not, I will let jockey dictate first, trainer and jockey, I should say, and then price. Here you're dealing with the best of the best up at Canada, up in Woodbine. You know, I feel comfortable putting my betting my money on Kevin and Josie Carroll and Catherine Day Phillips pretty much equally. And the same could be said for the jocks, like Kaz Kimura, who is riding my top pick, Mervalou. Louis Contreras, one of the leading riders up there, Steve Asmus, and I failed to mention Steve as well. But Louis Contreras riding Halo Again, who's very interesting. Like I said, was talking with Jim Lawson earlier. When I watched him break his maiden and then pay eight and change in that Coronation Futurity, getting a race over the track back in November, I said to myself, this is a horse that it looks like Steve Asmussen is going to try to get to the Queen's Plate. And sure enough, I can't imagine Steve thought it would be this long of a wait, an extra 11 weeks. But he's coming into this race nicely as well. He should get a good stalking trip in here. I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled off a little bit of a mild upset as well. I think it's going to be a real fun renewal of that Queen's Plate later on today. And certainly by the looks of the poll, HRR Nation kind of agrees, as everybody's all over the place. We had some love from Ashley Mayhew from Halo Again, who makes an awful lot of sense making his third start off of a March to July break. He should be poised for a big one as well. I think you can see a real good race today. Again, that Queen's Plate goes off right around 5:40, 5:41 post, a mile and a quarter, right at the base of that mile and a quarter chute in the stretch. So they'll come by the stands, pass the wire and note, and then go once around for $1 million. And, of course, the Canadian version of the Kentucky Derby is this Queen's Plate, and you will be able to follow along with that Queens Plate at Home experience. Woodbine TV again on Instagram for those for you Instas out there. Head on over if you don't have it, grab an account, and you can follow at Woodbine TV to follow along with all of the action this afternoon on what should be a fantastic day of racing and a fantastic 161st renewal of that Queens Plate. All right, we are wrapping hour number one of the Equine Forum. When we come back with hour number two, Kevin Attard, Price Bell, John Velasquez is going to join us. Right now, we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Tis the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, Tis the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
Improbable has built a four-length lead. By my standards, Tom's d'etat, code of honor, it's Improbable and Erod Ortiz Jr., to win the Whitney.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
And Honor AP runs right by Authentic. And Odor at the rail and Rushy, a 16th to go. Honor AP a length and a half. Authentic, Rushy running on late. It will be Honor AP, a very impressive winner of the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby.
Tom's d'etat shaken up to a three-length lead. By My Standards is trying hard, but he's still second. Silver Dust is third. Multiplier trying to come on late for fourth. But with a 16th to go, it's total domination for Tom's d'etat.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna. I am in the New York HRN studios, back in our home studios in Lexington. It's our producer, Lee Delapina. Thanks to Jim Lawson and Mike Maker for a spectacular hour number one. And we'll get things started, keeping with the theme of the day. It's all about Woodbine and Kentucky Downs today. Queens Plate 2020 up at Woodbine. Eight stakes, 22 races in all down at Kentucky Downs for their boutique days four and five of the six-day meet. And back up at Woodbine, nice enough to join us now is Kevin Attard. He has a couple in the Queens Plate today. The 2-1 morning line favorite, Clayton, as well as Miravalu, the filly who was third in the Woodbine Oaks last time out to second choice Curlin's Voyage on the morning line. Kevin, thanks for some time on a busy Saturday morning. Happy Queens Plate Day, my friend.
Happy Queens Plate Day. Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, always a pleasure to have you on. Last name Attard, synonymous with Canadian racing. You guys have been playing that trade up there for many, many years, and have a big big hand in today's 161st running of the Queens Plate. Let's start with the morning line favorite, Clayton. He looked real good winning that plate trial last time out.
Yeah, he's a nice colt. Obviously was impressive from the very first time he ran. We've been kind of high on him for a long time, and you know, he's been stretching out nicely. He gallops out well in his races, too, to suggest that the mile and a quarter shouldn't be a problem for him. He has the pedigree to run long, so we're hoping for a good performance today.
Kevin, he broke his maiden first time out in very impressive fashion, going five furlongs back in November of last year, then was sidelined until June, so just about a seven-month break. Was that by design? Was the plan to get the maiden broken and then point him to the Queen's Plate, or did he go to the sidelines for other reasons?
No, obviously, with him being a Canadian bred, the plan was to kind of aim for the Queen's Plate. Obviously, we weren't anticipating such a lengthy layoff, but when COVID hit, kind of everything got derailed, and everything kind of just had to be changed around, and we got backed up a little bit here at Woodbine. We weren't allowed to breeze for a bit of a time, and then once things started to get rolling again, and dates were finally kind of set and established, then we started gearing back up for this run today.
That's probably one of the things a lot of people, I think, took for granted when it came to the COVID. You know, it wasn't about just not racing, but you know, as a one of the top horsemen up there, you really, you know, a bit of a different schedule. Yet Barn hasn't missed a beat, winning at 17% of the meet. You know, when people, you know, when people look at percentages, I like to break down. That's one out of every six, which is obviously a fantastic rate. And trainers would kill to win with one out of every six starters. So the Barn doesn't miss a beat, but everything kind of gets postponed. What's that like? You know, especially with a horse like him, who obviously, you know, an 88 buyer speed figure to kick off his career, and now you have to manage him differently coming back. Talk about some of the trials and tribulations in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of luck has to go your way at that point then, because, you know, everything kind of, you can't afford any hiccups along the way now. I mean, we were fortunate enough that everything kind of went as planned, as scheduled, and he came along nicely. Obviously, he's a horse that lacks seasoning, so we needed to get a few races just to kind of, A, teach him to saddle, and B, stretch him out to see if he wanted to go two turns. So, you know, like I said, we were just really lucky. Everything's kind of fallen into place, and we haven't had any kind of steps that needed to kind of take backwards, and he's come to this, coming up to this race in good shape.
Yeah, two starts back when you stretch him out for the first time, he won pretty easily, going a mile and a 16th, and then the plate trial last time out, from the mile and a 16th to the mile and an eighth, it went from a 3-length win to a 1/2-length win. But I think you can argue he almost ran better last time when he stretched out, and you had to be thrilled with how he kind of kept those horses at bay in the latter stages.
Yeah, no doubt. He definitely kind of pinned his ears and made sure he kept his head in front. You know, he's maturing. He's still a little bit green, but he's learning each and every start. You know, he failed to switch leads in his last start, which was a first for him. But hopefully, you know, today he's kind of just that much more further ahead, and he does everything the right way. And I think if he does, we're going to have a good chance.
Just about 4 weeks between that plate trial. 4 weeks between the plate trial and this race today. See a couple of breezes on his card. You mentioned a little bit of a lack of seasoning. This will just be his fifth start of his career, five starts in about 10 months. Do you do a little bit more with him between his breezes to get him ready for the mile and a quarter? Do you kind of just train him the same way?
You know, I've trained him about the same. I think, you know, I mean, at this point, he's fit enough to handle the distance. You know, he's run, you know, I mean, run three races within the last basically 3 months. So I didn't want to overdo it with him. I think he's kind of peaking right now, and it's kind of riding that fine line with trying to do enough and not overdoing it.
Talking with trainer Kevin Attardi, as the morning line favorite, Clayton. In today's Queen's Plate, the 161st running of the Queen's Plate. He also has Miravalu, Philly, we'll talk about in just a minute. 2-1 morning line favorite. He's gone off favorite in each of his four starts. So obviously, you know, a horse that's turned some heads. And, you know, a bargain price for him. Just $50,000 as a yearling back at the Keeneland Septembersdale a couple of years ago in 2018.
Yeah, you know, he was purchased probably by one of the best eyes in racing, Donato Lani, right? So he's obviously done really well in picking out and spotting out young horses. So I was just very fortunate to kind of have the opportunity to have this horse come in my barn. And he's shown, you know, great talent and potential. And hopefully we can reward Donato and his partner, Daniel Plouffe, this afternoon.
Post 12, a concern for you with Clayton?
He's got natural speed. You know, it's a race on paper that, I mean, there's no really clear-cut speed horse. So I'm just going to leave it up to the jock. You know, obviously, you know, we don't want to be caught wide in that first turn. Hopefully he breaks well, and we're able to kind of get good positioning into that first turn, and then he can work out a trip from there.
And that shock, of course, Rafael Hernandez, one of the leading riders up at Woodbine year in and year out. He's not the only, Clayton's not the only one you have in this Queens plate today. Mura Valu is going to break from post two. Kaz Kimura going to ride. This filly, a little bit more seasoned than Clayton. She's run twice as many times. She's run eight times. Talk to me a little bit about Mura Valu.
Yeah, she's a real nice filly. The distance looks like it's not going to be an issue at all for her. You know, she showed some good potential last year at two, had a couple tough losses, has had, to me, a couple unfortunate trips. You know, hasn't had the best of racing luck in her last two starts. And I really think that if kind of the chips fall her way today, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, three consecutive seven-hole draws, two of which she was the outside post last time in the Oaks, middle of the pack. You mentioned that not ideal trips the last two times. Two starts back in the Celine, she got caught wide. You put a pair of blinkers on her for the Woodbine Oaks. Has that changed her at all?
No, so to be honest, I was surprised she was so far back last time. Like, I did think the blinkers actually had to relax her a little bit, and the reason to kind of put them on was just to keep her a little bit more focused. I thought she had a tendency to kind of hang and run with horses instead of kind of passing and kind of kicking on. So that was the idea of the blinkers. It didn't seem to kind of put any speed into her. And when we ran her in the Oaks, she was further back than I could ever anticipated. But she closed well, got into a little bit of trouble, and galloped out really strongly after the race, suggesting that another eighth of a mile is going to be right up her alley.
She, on paper anyway, she's really been tearing up that surface up at Woodbine in the morning. 58 and 2, 47. Is she a good workhorse overall, or have those blinkers sharpened her up a little bit?
No, she's always actually been a good workhorse. Her last two works have definitely been a little stronger. I think she's a horse that's on top of her game right now. And, you know, she's just putting everything together. Big filly, kind of maturing into herself. So I just think things are starting to kind of fall into place for her. And I think she's got a big race coming out of her today.
You know, we were talking to Mike Maker a little earlier in the program. He's got horses in 18 of the 22 races at Kentucky Downs this weekend. You got eight in today. Well, you have more than eight in. You're in eight races today. How do you juggle all of those around the biggest race in the country?
Yeah, it's definitely a very busy day, but you're only as good as the people behind you. And we've got a good crew of workers here, grooms, hot walkers, exercise riders. So I've got a great assistant trainer. So all hands are on deck. And, the horses are set and ready to go. So it's just now a matter of kind of everybody relaxing and putting it all together and hoping for some racing luck.
We talked about the family name. You've been around in the game most of your life. What would it mean to you to win this Queen's Plate?
It'd mean everything. This is a real special race. It's obviously the longest continuous run stake race in North America. This is the 161st running of it. There's a lot of prestige in winning this race. As a kid growing up, being Canadian, race here at Woodbine, this being my home, this race means everything, really. It'd be a real big achievement. We got close to winning it in 2007. With a horse named Alessandro, and this is probably the first time since then that I've coming into the race with two solid chances.
You have a favorite Queen's Plate from when you were younger?
Tough to say. I'd be biased to saying when I ran second is probably one of my Queen's Plate because it was my first one. It was a big big deal for me. We had a good chance at winning it, just lost it at the very end. But I also go back in the mid-'80s when my uncle, obviously Larry, won the Queen's Plate with Bompago. That was obviously a really memorable moment. I was still a really young child at the time, but I do remember the race, and I do remember him winning. And just to see an Atard obviously accomplish such a great feat, was meant a lot to me.
We'll see if the if your favorite Queens play can change in about 9.5 hours.
Yeah, I'm hoping it does. That's it. Definitely. So 2020's been a strange year, and it'd be nice to have something as memorable as that. That's for sure.
All right, Kevin, thanks for some time this morning. We'll let you get ready for what figures to be a busy, busy day. He's in 8 of the 13 races at Woodbine today, including the big one, the $1 million, 161st running of the Queen's Plate. Thanks, Kevin. Good luck today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate having me on.
All right. Kevin Attard, getting ready for, man, a lot of firepower for the Equine Forum guests this morning. Nice of these guys to be able to take some time out of the day. Listen, as the son of a trainer who, you know, my dad, and he's still training up at Presque Isle Downs, I remember all the work that went into getting one horse ready. Dad never had more than like 10 or 12 horses when I was a kid. And I remember all the work, and Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick Four, talks about this all the time. I don't think people realize what it takes to get a horse ready to win any horse race on any given day at any given track in the world. To have 10 and to have two of them in the most prestigious race in the country for $1 million with seven of the races surrounding that. He's got horses before and after the Queen's Plate later on today at Woodbine, a remarkable feat. And like most of these guys and gals that have these big barns and all the success, you know, Kevin crediting his barn and the folks he works with for some of his success. And they certainly, it's all hands on deck on a day like today. That's for sure. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, the newest general manager of Millridge, Price Bell, going to join us to talk about their consignment over at the Keeneland Sales. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
The test of time. There is no better example than Millridge Farm. Founded in 1962 by Alice Chandler, this year's inductee into the Hall of Fame as a pillar of the turf. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 35 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners and 2 Horses of the Year, nearly 2 per year. If you're looking for success in the thoroughbred business, consider Millridge Farm and its consulting arm, Nicoma Bloodstock, for it is proven and tested over time.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired 4 millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include Cutting Humor, winner of the Grade 3 Sunland Park Derby, Grade 2 winner Sharp Samurai, international star Shamal Nibras, graded stakes performers Uncapped and Sweet Sammy D, and Bal Harbor, runner-up in the Grade 1 Woodward Stakes. His two-year-olds have brought prices up to $310,000. First, Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Good Samaritan obliged to travel very deep past the quarter pole with 6 or 7 lengths to pick up. Oscar Performance, the new leader at the 3/16 pole, getting the head and now the body in front from the early leader, well-abled. Then Lancaster Bomber and Good Samaritan running home well, but Oscar Performance is well clear. In second spot, Lancaster Bomber, and then Good Samaritan, but Oscar Performance has won it by a length and a half. Lancaster Bomber second, ahead in front of Good Samaritan, and Ticonderoga finishing furiously into the superfecta.
The 2016 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf went to Oscar Performance. He's over at Millridge. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRR. And Price Bell, the newest general manager over at Millridge, on the horn now, just a month into his new position over there. Price, thanks for some time this morning here on the Equine Forum.
Thank you, Anthony. And true confession, I had spent some time in quarantine with a, having tested positive. And I will say that you and Andy got me through most of my afternoons listening to Talking Horses. So it's a real privilege to speak with you this morning.
That's very nice of you to say. I'll let Andy know. Is there an offer on the table to a lot of people, when they say that to me, they ask me, how can I deal with Andy Serling every day? And more often than not, there is then a monetary offer to to fight back. I can be bought, just so everybody knows.
Well, I appreciate that.
Just
I
kidding.
Appreciate that, but
yeah,
you'll have a great relationship that is great television, and I feel like each time I listen to you and watch you, I learned something new, and I just appreciate the greatest thing about horse playing is developing an opinion, and you both have one and defend them, and it's the great part about it. So anyway, I really enjoyed it, and just appreciate you all doing it and all you do. So thank you.
Really nice of you to say. I'll pass that sentiment along to my man. He's one of my best friends, and we have a great time. I tell people all the time, right? Horse players are supposed to have an opinion, and when they talk about it sometimes, especially if they're good friends, they're supposed to be ridiculous about it, and I think
right.
We try to do that for 45 minutes a day for the most part. Congratulations on the new assignment over at Mill Ridge. I heard those people could be really tough to work for, though.
Yeah. You know, it's a tremendous honor and a privilege, and it was I came off of transitioning into the role, and then test positive. Very lucky, did not experience symptoms, but did quarantine and isolate for 14 days, and then kind of restarted and got to jump back into the prep season. And it's been as tough a prep season as I can remember. I had a privilege of working on the farm with my grandmother, and I think I started in 93, 94, 95, kind of in that era. There was a gentleman named Joe Bates who had worked with my great-grandfather and then came over and worked with my grandmother. And he was an older gentleman, just kind and funny and, he spent 30 years on the racetrack as well. And anyway, Joe at that stage was about 75, 80 years old, and he drove the tractor around the barn because in one barn we stack muck on the back. And so my first day off of quarantine, I was, we've had a hard time with staffing and people being sick and these various things. I found myself on the tractor thinking about Joe Bates and on the back of the wagon stacking muck and hearing him yell at me that I wasn't stacking it right and I needed to get more on in one area. And it just it kind of brought everything full circle. And it's been every day since has been just a tremendous privilege and enjoyed the process. It's a great honor to work with incredible horses and it fills you full of hope and dreams, and that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, that's what it's all. That's why we get up every morning to do what we do, whatever aspect of this game, right? You can tell there's a real appreciation in your words for this beautiful sport, for this great sport, and I'm sure it's the word privilege, right? Luxury privilege is the one those are the two that usually come to mind. They pay me to go to racetracks and casinos, and you get to go to work every day at a place that your grandmother started 58 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And congratulations to Alice Chandler on her induction to the Hall of Fame as a pillar of the turf this year. Well deserved, certainly. But well, I mean, that has just been a thrill every day for you.
It really is. And the team that have worked with her, there's still a lot of people who started working. We've got people tenured at 40 and 45 years, and still loving every day going to work and working towards that next big horse. It's what keeps you going. It's tremendous. It was really, so the Phasic Show was the first kind of, sale that I kind of was, a point person. We've got, also Shayna Tiller, a former Saratoga Special, graduate, also directing our sales. And it was just a really special moment, for me to kind of walk horses up and, get that rush. And just, it was really, it was amazing. Now to be here at Keeneland with starting book one tomorrow is it's been wonderful. I feel very blessed. We've walked a lot of miles and sweat a lot of a lot of pounds and we're thankful that the fruits of those labor are starting to bear on.
In the last 20 years since 2000, you guys over at Mill Ridge have sold 35 Grade One winners. In that number are 8 Breeders' Cup winners, 2 horses of the year. So that at 35 Grade One winners, that's nearly 2 a year. So the proof's in the pudding, as they say. And like you said, getting ready to start the first session. Let's talk a little bit about what we got going on. The consignment, I know it started right around 60 with the ones pulled. You guys are at about 45 now. If my math's correct.
Yep, that's correct. That's correct. That's correct. And, it's a lovely, we're very lucky to have a lot of really nice horses. In the first book, we've got, a lovely Medaglia d'Oro out of, the Queen of Bowie Park, Dance to Bristol. And he's just a proper horse that, it's really nice to see horses when you start putting challenges to them, whether that be walking, exercising. Here at the sale grounds, it's a whole new environment, and just to watch them really bloom, and we try and, part of my grandmother's traditions and, is kind of trying to instill confidence with horses that working with humans, and to see them come out and come to the grounds in March and, kind of grow and bloom here on the grounds is what we're really trying to deliver, and feel very lucky, especially in this first book. The four horses or five horses that we have in, feel like they're really, doing that and doing everything we've asked. The Medaglia d'Oro colt is, has a ton of swagger to him, a lot of confidence. We have 2 Arrogates, and it's fascinating. This is the first crop of Arrogate. And I don't know, we have 3 on the farm and no 2 looked alike. Wow. Sometimes you think, gosh, it's easy. Into Mischief has done an incredible job of kind of stamping his stock, and Arrogate, it's tough to kind of read at the moment. And then you think about, Frankel was very tough to read on his offspring. No 2 looked alike. And Giant's Causeway was tough to read on his offspring. And, you look forward to anticipating Arrogate going to the track and hoping that they carry some of his brilliance. And then lastly, we're very lucky to have an American Thorough Filly from a young family, a young hobo family, Shop Again and Miss Shop, the mare's stakes producing mare, Smart Shopping. She's just a lovely, classy American Thorough Filly. And so we feel lucky with the hand we have here in book one, and it continues on through the rest of the sessions. It's hard to believe in 14 days we'll be shutting this down.
Yeah. I love looking at these at the index. And just at your consignment, you mentioned the American Pharoah, the Philly, Smart Shopping, the Second Damn Shopping. My dad had Julio Pazua's book back in late 91, early 92, and the Chief, Alan Jerkins, trained for you. You mentioned Jack Dreyfus, Mr. Dreyfus, and Hobo Farm. We rode Shop. It was the only horse Alan put him on. It was his first winter in New York with my dad. She rode Shopping. She won by like 15, and he could never get him on another. He could never get him on another horse for Alan. So when I saw her, and I remembered that Smart Shopping was part of the family, and I took a trip down memory lane last night. That's the best thing and the worst thing about looking at the index. You remember all these mares, and then you feel old. And that's I appreciate the fact that you made me feel old last night. Thank you very much.
or young. Because, you clearly remember it like it's yesterday, right?
Yeah. I mean, Dance to Bristol, she did little wrong. I think I covered her Charlestown Oaks the first Charlestown Oaks I covered here on the network was when she won. She was something.
She was. And she is, so we do a lot of tours on the farm. We really are passionate about sharing horses with people and she has such a great class and personality to her. She's always a fan favorite. We'll stop and feed her carrots, and she just has she's the most lovely way about her. And she certainly passed that that quality on to this colt here. And anyway, she was the queen of Bowie, and when she got up to win the Ballerina, it was like, wow, look at you know, Ollie Figgins go, you know, bring a horse yeah. like her up there and beat everybody else was just awesome.
Yeah, that was something. Talking with Price Bell, general manager over at Mill Ridge Farm. Big consignment over at this Keeneland September yearling sale. Talk about some of the other highlights moving forward in the sessions.
Sure. So we're going to ship in for book two. We ship in Monday, start selling Tuesday. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, this first book, you've got physical and pedigree. And then book two, you start to have, maybe you start to dip on pedigree a little bit, but you've got great physicals. And we're coming with, this year we had, we're kind of flipped upside down. We had, you know, 2-1 colts to fillies off the farm. And so we're bringing a number of nice colts in for book two. Have a Kitten's Joy out of a Danehill Dancer mare, who's a little, or older sister named Duopoly. May bring Animal Kingdom back. She won an allowance at Saratoga very well for Chad Brown and maybe at a pretty good price. I think I don't know if you and Andy were both on her, but she won.
No, well, he was. I was on the other Chad Brown that day,
which is tricky, right? I mean, I was on the other Chad Brown when Analyzer broke his maiden, and Analyzer was the other Chad Brown, and we got him at like 9-1 or something like that, and that was.
I left him out of the. And you know, you're really. I like your price, but you're not between feeling old and bringing this thing up. I left him out of the pick five that day. I singled the other Chad Brown, and this thing went off and disappeared into the Belmont afternoon. I was just talking to him. I was like, man, other Chad Brown, what did I do here? I paid like $11,000 too. I walked out of Belmont talking to myself that day. That wasn't a good day. He just come back and win. He went last weekend, his first start in almost 2 years. So
he did. 22 months. I mean, how incredible is Chad and his team to be able to do that, right? I mean,
amazing.
You know, you think about the horse of the year this last year and analyze it. I mean, he's a horse that we bred as a family. You know, it's amazing. I had the pleasure to speak with the Godolphin Flying Start students each year about building a broodmare band or portfolio. And about 7-8 years ago, we bought quite a few mares. We bought 10 mares, and of those 10, we're still holding on to three, one being Analyze, its mother, Sweet Essay. And when we bought her for $14,000, she was empty. It was probably the last mare we would have bought, and she's now been the most productive. She had wow. Analyze It, and then she had Sherelle, who ran third first out at Saratoga for the coach and Chad, and nice horse, and we have a Kitten's Joy yearling this year out of Sweet Essay. So it's just amazing. You know, you never know. Again, of the 10 mares we bought, she was the last one we would have bought, and she's by far been the most productive. So it just goes to show you play the chips as best you can and hope that you're right more than you're wrong, right?
Yeah, Sherelle was real good. He was against the track that day. Broke a little slow, and it was against the track. The turf was playing all speed. That Phil Serpy horse went wire to wire. He came running to be third. He was okay. And the Kittens, there's the Sweet Essay is here, hip 1199.
That's right. Looking forward to showing him. We have two really nice Kittens Joys coming, along with a number of other nice colts. And, you know, I'll be curious to see how this book one plays out. You know, the Fasig market was a good market. And, the team at Fasig and Keeneland working together to get people here has really been incredible. You know, how hard they've had to work to get visas and travel restrictions lifted. And just to have a marketplace is, you know, an effort that, you know, must go noticed and really appreciated, because the Fasig sale was good. And the people are here for hopefully a really good start tomorrow to book one, and hopefully the momentum will carry on. We'll see. It'll be great. We've done this year for Millridge. We've done more on-farm shows than we've done ever. We've got great walking videos on the website, on Keeneland's enhanced pedigree and enhanced catalog. And so, you know, we'll see. Online internet bidding, you know, it's I think, a great statement towards transparency. And I hope that if people aren't able to be here, that they're able to kind of participate with confidence. Because I do think that their money will go far this year. Because I, you know, there's going to be a market correction most likely. So I think it's, but I think that they've done everything they can, Keeneland and Fasig, to minimize it as much as possible. So we'll see how we
go. Real eclectic consignment you guys have. You have a daredevil here, of course, after the Kentucky Oaks last last Friday. His stock's got to be on the rise with the 1-2 finish of She Dares the Devil and Swiss Skydiver.
I'm keeping an eye
on one of the
ones
awesome later.
How awesome was that race? I mean, we were so lucky.
Amazing.
The Oaks Derby Day was just incredible.
Amazing. Amazing. Price, thanks for some time today. Listen, do me a favor. Keep an eye on that orb out of Seismology. Seismology is a half to my girl Closed Hatches. I'm going to try and hit a couple of those Kentucky Downs pick fives this weekend, and maybe I'll get involved late in the game. Hip number 4219. If you see A's hand going up, just try and give me a little help, will you?
I'll do it. We'll stay in touch.
All right.
We'll stay in touch.
Price, thanks again.
And it's been a pleasure, and thank you for having me on this morning.
You got it. We'll talk to you real soon. General Manager over at Millridge Farm, Price Bell. Like all of our guests, Price will receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. Before we take a break, we want to remind you that Kentucky Downs wraps up their six-day boutique meet on Wednesday, and the live racing returns to Churchill Downs the very next day. Thursday, September 17th, they'll run the September 17th through September 27th meet with a first post each day at 12:45. The meet's highlighted by the Grade 3 ACAC in a couple of Saturdays on September 26th. For more information, visit churchilldowns.com. When we return, it's time for the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Hall of Famer John Velasquez got his third Kentucky Derby win last Saturday aboard Authentic. He'll talk to us about this 2020 season. And the highlight, of course, so far for him, that Kentucky Derby win. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Racing fans, Santa Anita's 2020 Autumn Meet will open next Saturday, September 19th, and although we remain closed to the public, don't miss a minute of the action as you can watch and wager via First Bet. That's the number one, stbet.com, or you can download it at the App Store. Santa Anita and Golden Gate Fields are joining forces to present the all-new Low Takeout Golden Hour Late Pick 4 every racing day. It's a $1 minimum wager with a low 15% takeout, which will include the final two races from both Santa Anita and Golden Gate. On opening day Saturday, two-year-olds will go 5.5 furlongs on turf in the $100,000 Speakeasy Stakes, which is a Breeders' Cup winning your end prep for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. Also on Saturday, we'll honor the memory of longtime Oak Tree Racing Association Executive Vice President Sherwood Chillingworth with the Grade 3 Chillingworth Stakes for fillies and mares at 6.5 furlongs. First post time each racing day is at 12:30.
Adina Springs bred and raced Awesome McGinn's best son in Horse of the Year and Hall of Famer Ghost Sapper. Now one of the most consistently brilliant sires this century, producing 11% black type winners, 6% graded winners, and 17% black type horses, highlighted by 12 grade 1 winners, 8 millionaires, and 5 champions. Adina Springs also bred and raced Ghost Sapper's best son, champion, multiple grade 1 winner, and Hall of Famer Shaman Ghost, who became the first horse in 3 decades to reel off this historic grade 1 double.
It's going to be a photo finish!
Shaman Ghost out towards the middle of the track. It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Seeing is believing with Shaman Ghost. Believe in the first Shaman Ghost yearlings appearing at the sales this fall. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Tis the Law on the outside of Authentic. These two stride for stride as they come to the final furlong. Authentic is dragging in. Tis the Law all out to get by him. Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th pole. Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the buyer. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby. John Velasquez does it with Chance the Law had to settle for second. And then it was Mr. Big News. Honor AP ends up fourth. 2 minutes. 0.61 seconds was the final time for Authentic. Bob Baffert has done it for the sixth time.
Six Kentucky Derby wins for the Silver-Haired Fox. Three for Hall of Famer, fellow Hall of Famer, John Velasquez. They got it done in virtual gate to wire fashion with Authentic last Saturday at Churchill Downs. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna. The Baron will be back next week with the Equine Forum. John Velasquez, third Kentucky Derby victory. He is our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris. And you think about it, those three wins have come in just the span of 10 years. The catch ride, if you will, on Animal Kingdom when Robbie Alvarado got hurt the week of the Kentucky Derby back in 2011. He piloted that one for Grand Motion. Then, of course, for his main man, Todd Pletcher in 2017, Always Dreaming. I forget the exact number, but it was somewhere above 1,500 wins, 1,500 or 1,600. Johnny and Todd had won that many races together and finally took down the Mount Everest of American racing, the Kentucky Derby, with that win aboard Always Dreaming in the slop. I don't care what the chart says, it was sloppy, in 2017. And then now, for Bob Baffert, who he's ridden for throughout his career, the last couple of years, I know he had a big weekend last year, the end of last year, well, just about a year ago at this point, when he was at Santa Anita for the American Pharoah and the Chandelier, eight rings and best, and one of those was a milestone for Bob Baffert. So, yeah, he has been, he's ridden for Bob throughout his career, and now they team up, and what an unusual day, right? Everything that happened last week on Kentucky Derby Day, once they got to the paddock, 1,000 words scratching, and you think about all of the runners that Bob Baffert and his team had pointed to Louisville for first the first Saturday in May and then finally the first Saturday in September, right? That arsenal started with horses like 1,000 words who almost made it into the starting gate and then worked its way towards horses like Charlatan and Nadal, who each won a division of the Arkansas Derby before Charlatan was disqualified from his victory, and then both to the sidelines. Nadal retired, Charlatan still not back training, I believe, to Uncle Chuck and Cezanne. You know, new shooters that when the Derby gets postponed to September, it looks like Baffert's going to bring them along somewhat like Justify style. And Uncle Chuck doesn't run well in the Travers, and Cezanne doesn't run well in the Shared Belief. And he's left with 1,000 words, who was there at the start, and he's left with the eventual winner, Authentic, who was kind of there at the start as well. So it was kind of like a full circle year, and then everything happens with 1,000 words in the paddock. Sends longtime assistant Jimmy Barnes to the hospital, goes out and wins with Authentic, who then knocks Bob over in the winner's circle while he's getting the roses. Boy, talk about a horse that wanted no part of the roses. Once those roses went near Authentic, he kind of got a little skittish and things went a little astray down in the Churchill Downs winner's circle. But boy, just a remarkable year. Bob Baffert, very, very emotional when that was all over with. And, you know, Johnny riding Authentic with Mike Smith opting to ride Honor AP. And, you know, the jockey protocols. You think about everything that happened for the 146th Kentucky Derby and to get to the result we got to. And, you know, if you really think about how all of the dominoes fell, if you will, it's a remarkable journey. If you start you know, say at last year's Breeders' Cup to work through everything that has transpired, and the horses that have fallen by the wayside and not made it down the trail to only 15 horses in the starting gate. A remarkable, remarkable year. We're efforting to get John Velasquez on the phone. He is down in, he's at Kentucky Downs to ride for the weekend. So we're trying to get Johnny V as we speak. But yeah, and Johnny's career. I mean, a remarkable career in a year that's seen him make a huge change in his business model. Hiring Ron Anderson, who replaced a father figure in Johnny's life, his longtime agent, the great Angel Cordero Jr., and seeing Johnny, you know, and win another Kentucky Derby for one of the best agents to ever do it, and Ron kind of getting him in, kind of getting him into different barns and such. So, yeah, it's just been a remarkable year, to say the least. And, again, efforting to get John Velasquez on the phone, again, at Kentucky Downs this weekend to ride those lucrative stakes races in the Franklin, Kentucky area. So, back... Well, I guess Johnny never left. Johnny's been down in Kentucky for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the disappointment of Gamine in the Kentucky Oaks leads to Derby victory the very next day. The roller coaster that is the great sport of Kings. One day you're at the top, the next day you're at the bottom, the next day you're back at the very, very top of the mountain. And John Velasquez has climbed that mountain three times now. Kentucky Derby victory number three last week aboard Authentic. We're going to effort to continue. We're going to continue the effort to get John Velasquez. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and wrap this edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Cara Conti has won.
Passion.
It's Cara Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Cara Conti and O'Dor. Cara Conti.
Gainsway Stallion Cara Conti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a two-year-old and a three-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 132 and 4 fifths. Cara Conti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Cara Conti's first crop of three-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Sole Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Catil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream. Value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Cara Conti at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Visionary Design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. I want to remind you to head over to bloodhorse.com for all your horse racing needs, and don't miss this September 12th issue of Blood Horse Magazine. It features the historic 2020 Kentucky Derby results. Read about Derby winner Authentic's breeder, Peter Blum, his owner, Spendthrift Farm, My Racehorse, Starlight Racing, and Manicat Stables, as well as trainer Bob Baffert, who picked up his sixth Kentucky Derby win, and jockey John Velasquez, who scored his third Kentucky Derby victory. Download a copy of Blood Horse Magazine. It's available for your tablet today from the App Store or Google Play, or go to shop.bloodhorse.com. And we are still efforting to get Johnny on the phone. Should happen sooner rather than later. John Velasquez, and this is a story that I have told numerous times, in his first mount in the United States, rode for my dad. A horse named Rockville Center, New York bred. Maiden. Back in early 1990. So Johnny's been here for 30 years. And it took him 20 to win the Kentucky Derby. And sure enough, we have John Velasquez, the Hall of Famer, three-time Kentucky Derby winner, on the phone now. Johnny, thanks for some time this morning. The Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, 3 in 10 years. I think that's something that's getting overlooked here. Animal Kingdom, Always Dreaming, and Authentic. Things did not go as planned when that gate opened on Saturday.
Well, I tell you, I was expecting that we're going to break a little slow. And I even said it before the race, a couple of interviews that I did. I didn't like the position that we had, just because being the last one in the gate, normally once you get in the gate, they kind of like to get as fast as they can, really, once the last circuit is in, though, so the horse is normally not 100% standing properly, and 8 out of 10, the first jump is not very good, and even Authentic is not very quick from the gate, though. So with watching his prior races and being the last one and going to the gate, I was expecting that, though, but on the other hand, I knew he was going to be quick enough to get too close to the lead or be in the lead before we get to the turn. So, I didn't worry so much, though, and I think even if the way he broke, I kind of went gradually, going into the lead before we get to the first turn.
Were you surprised that no one took advantage of the lackluster break and that you were able to clear by the time you got to that first turn?
Well, if we looking back at the race, really, there was only one speed horse and Tis the Law, and I knew he was not want to go to the lead. You know, that's not the way they actually wanted him to, you know, and listen to Barkley and prior to that, you know, they just like to suck somebody and so on, you know. And the other horse, Paco Lopez, I thought he'd probably go to the lead, and I was willing to let him go if he wanted to do it. So obviously, when we passed the wire for the first time, and I didn't see him, and he wasn't going to the lead, so that was my turn, you know, to, okay, let me go ahead and do what my horse wants to do.
You always talk to us here on the network about plan. You leave the paddock with plans A to Z. With a horse like Authentic, there's really not much. And you know he's going to break a little slow, and at least you did. He's not going to break that sharp. You're going to be on the lead. I'm sure after you watch the Haskell, did you have some concerns about the mile and a quarter after watching the Haskell?
You know, we always have it, though, you know, and talking to Bob, he's just like, you know what, I think I have it much ready this time, you know, for going a mile and a quarter. We always had the question whether he can go or not, and he says, like, but you have to, Bob, you have to carry this horse now. He goes, he's kind of putting the pressure on me, and he says, and when you get to the stretch, I want you to get you left-handed, ready for this horse, okay? Make sure you get his attention, though. And, I mean, to tell you the truth, it worked out perfect. You know, talking about we planning, we were Jeff Ruby's having dinner, like, three nights back-to-back, and we keep talking about it. And it's like, you make sure you have him left-handed, you know, get his attention. And if you look back from the Haskell to the Derby, though, you know, Mike never hit him, though. You know, Mikey just kind of kept showing the whip and kind of tapping him, though. You know, this time, you know, I got him left-handed, so I surprised him, and he responded right away. I think that was the difference right there. And actually, and afterwards, Bob said to me, if Mike had hidden his horse left-handed in the Haskell, you would never be on him on the Derby, because I don't think he would have got off of him. You know what I mean? And that's why the thought of us that he might not want to go the distance, and he just kind of hit a little quirky, so he kind of gets distracted very, very, very easily. And he looked like he was going to win easy in the Haskell, and all of a sudden, kind of, you know, the other horse was going back at him. So I was like, if he had hit me left-handed, I think he would have gone on, and you would never have been on this horse. So I'm glad he didn't.
Now, three Kentucky Derby wins, that is rarefied air. Bob said after the race, when he won six, it never gets old. You feel the same way?
Absolutely. You know, they asked me that the other day, obviously, when the Derby, and it's like, if it gets old, you better do something else. Go ahead and retire and do something else. No, absolutely. No, the feeling that you get, the satisfaction that you get, it's incredible. There's just no words to describe it, though, you know. And I mean, if you get the opportunities to be in this kind of horses and win it at this kind of races, it's incredible. I mean, it's just no word to describe it, you know. Glad to be part of it and blessed.
Been an unusual year with the COVID. You went through a major career change, hiring Ron Anderson as your agent. And now, you know, the other thing about those three derbies, three different styles. Animal Kingdom from off the pace, Always Dreaming not far from the pace, and this one on the lead. It's just been a remarkable career, and perhaps appropriate that you win it in this unusual year. You've been, they call it the old guard. You and Mike really leading that charge now. 30 years. Just here in the United States alone, could you imagine where your career has taken you in 30 years?
No, I couldn't even dream it about where it has taken me. You know, I've been very blessed and very fortunate with the people that I work with and having the opportunities they have given me. And you know, it has grown on me. Like I said, when I came to the United States, actually my first mile was for you, Dad. By the way. Coming to United States, I had never dreamed that I would be here for this long and doing what I'm doing right now. So I think, you know, the business growing to me, I learned more and more and more, and this is where I am. You know, just incredible. It's part of my life, how it changed being in horse racing and how much I have learned through the years, you know.
Yeah. Well, as usual, a great ride last Saturday. Many great rides to come. Best of luck if Authentic makes his way to the Preakness and then the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, a busy couple of weeks, a couple of months now between Keeneland and Belmont and all of the winning you're in action. John, thanks for some time this morning. Best of luck this weekend and going forward.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right. The one and only Hall of Famer John Velasquez just got his third Kentucky Derby win aboard Authentic last Saturday at Churchill Downs. Like all of our other guests, Johnny will receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. Fantastic, fantastic morning in the books. Thanks to all of our guests, trainers Mike Maker and Kevin Attard, Jim Lawson from Woodbine, Price Bell from Mill Ridge, and of course our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, three-time Kentucky Derby winner John Velasquez. That wraps up another week here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We come back at you this Wednesday. Bobby Newman and I have race day. You can take a listen to the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts, podcast over at horseracingradio.net. For our producer, Lee Delapina, and everyone here at HRN, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I hope you win all your photo finishes. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Wednesday at 3 for race day here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.